Episode 58 of Hero Movie Camilo Podcast. This episode we have Rose Mizura, the filmmaker. We talk about the cliche, hardship, and how to overcome the little obstacles that life offers.
How hard is filmmaking? And is filmmaking for everyone? We're about to find out. Press play and enjoy the podcast.
Hey, this is Hello Kopi Camilo Podcast. Finally we have Rose
Mizura.
Welcome to the podcast. And for those listeners who don't really know who you are, how would you describe yourself and how young are you?
Okay, how young? I am 22 years old. I'm an aspiring filmmaker and I study in LA, University of Southern California. For films, it started out when I was maybe 13, when I joined like a photography club. But my love for stories have been there since I was young, since I was like 9 years old. You know, like I love to read. I used to read a lot of books as a child. And
I'm guessing Harry Potter was part of it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly a common trait for every child.
That's my childhood right there. And Lord of the Rings. That too. I didn't really read the whole thing. That's a lot to read, but I was a fan.
How was childhood like for you?
It was more active, actually, than right now. Like, right now, I live, like, a pretty passive life. And I'm sure, like, kids who were born, like, early 2000s, they don't, you know, they're, like, stuck with their iPhones now. But my childhood was basically me, my masa-masa outside, like, plucking leaves and, like, burning it over open fire. Trying to build a treehouse. What else did we used to do? I used to catch grasshoppers. And,
wow. Yeah. I mean, you were born quite late in the 90s, but you are so lucky that you get
to experience that.
Because you mentioned like the iPhone generation. I have friends who's like 24, 23 right now, has never ever experienced out there the active outdoors.
But isn't it like a common thing, like? I mean, for my childhood, at least, like, we used to, like, go out to the park and, like, play ice and water. We've been studying in Streetkill since I was 9 years old, so that's, like, basically my whole life. I do feel that attachment to, you know, Subang Jaya, that was, like, my home, basically. And Subang has its own, like, culture, and I feel really, like, close to that. Right. I feel like I'm part of it. My family has always been really supportive of whatever I do. My dad has always told me, like, I don't care what you do, but as long as you're the best at it, like, I'll support you.
How does it feel like be Rose Mizura?
I think I actually show a lot of who I am on social media. A lot of people tend to not be authentic on social media. I'm pretty laid back. I don't like drama, you know. I'm a pretty chill friend.
With Malaysia's situation right now with the creative industry, you think we are anywhere near to being international, so to speak?
I feel like it's getting there with the movie industry. You know, we had that big hit Hola Bola, and they also had a really good like soundtrack. Started noticing that a lot of these movies and dramas are starting to not copy, but they're like inspired by Korean TV styles. Which is really good, because Koreans have a great eye for story. And with the like music industry as well. Like, rap is starting to be really big here. I'm like surprised. When I came back, 2 years ago, it wasn't that big. We only had Cartel. That was it. Like, Jofizo. So no one. But now we have a lot of like upcoming rappers. And I've heard their stuff. It's pretty good. Like Zom, you interviewed Zom, right? Shout out
Zamira, right? But there's still this like a wall that's stopping us from crossing over. Do you feel that?
I feel like the only wall that is stopping us from really achieving like the international quality of like music, you know, writing and like movies is work ethics. People who have studied in the US, you know, in film, I can only speak for film, but when they come back here, they bring like the professional work ethics, the workflow, what they learned in school. Like, they don't teach that here. Just like the proper professional way of doing things.
How much you want something to work? In Malaysia, I don't know about majority of the Malaysians who are attempting anything, but they are sort of doing it part-time. As in like, oh, okay, I sort of want to be a filmmaker, but I kind of want to be a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're not doing it obsessively.
Oh, yeah.
Not religiously, you know what I mean?
Whereas I believe that if you, I don't believe in like money grabbing. Like, we talked about this just now. Like, people who, when I ask them, like, what are your dreams and goals? And they're like, oh, I want to be a millionaire by 30. No, that's not the way to go. What I believe in is if you love something and you feel like this strong passion, like in your heart when you're doing it, and it's just like, you know, you were like born to do this, then just do it every day. Surround yourself in it and just like immerse yourself with all things that are related to that. That's why I like surround myself with like filmmakers. And when you do it that way and it really shows that you enjoy what you do, people can see it and people will be inspired by you. People will hire you. That's how you get to success. Not, I want to do this because it makes money. Again, it goes back to like being authentic.
So obviously you have tried many, many roles in the film industry, right? Producer,
acting,
writer,
producing. I've wrote my own stuff. I've done sound.
What do you think is the most interesting and the most challenging part of those roles? And which one do you like the most, you think?
I think directing is actually really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, because directing is all about visuals, like. When you have this vision in your head about how a film is going to be, when you create a storyboard, you think like, oh, that's how it's going to be, like just like in my head. But when you do it, it's totally different. When you actually film it, you're like, oh no, wait, this does not work. You need to like off the bat just like improvise and think about, okay, what shots will actually go with what I'm trying to convey in the film itself. Because no matter like how much you plan, it's hard to like really put out what your vision is. It's just really tough.
I mean, it takes a lot of pre-production, even inside your head. You got to think about it again and again and again, right?
Yes.
And filmmaking is not as easy as it seems.
It's just the same, like if you're writing like a dialogue and you think like it sounds natural on paper, but when you say it out loud, it's different.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. And I think the really great directors is how accurately they can convey what's in their head.
Okay, like for those people who has that chip on their shoulder, right? Who wants to prove to their parents that they want to do what they want to do.
If you're financially like dependent on them, obviously you have to think about what they want as well. You have to like consider it. But if you feel like it really brings you unhappiness, then either tell them how unhappy you are, or just YOLO, just switch majors. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really depends like how much you want it, how important it is to you. And I think if my parents did not let me do film, I would find a way to do it. Cause that is what I really want to do. Well, every time I write a script, I have like a lot in my folder. Every time I write, some movie comes out with the same idea. I'm like, yo, it's a Hollywood movie. Now I'm never gonna be able to make this movie. Yeah. Do you know, is it Flatliners? Flatliners, where they like have near-death experience and they wake up the people. I had a script that's like sort of like that. And I was so disappointed when I found out about Flatliners. My friend actually sent it to me. Like, hey, this is kind of like your script. I'm like, yo, I could have been a millionaire.
That's what I heard. People used to say, or still believe so, that ideas are cheap, but execution is a hard part, right?
Yes.
Because you never know. Like, there's like, I don't know, 7 to 8 billion people in this world, and you never know. Like, your writing might already existed somewhere else.
Hollywood now is making so many remakes because they have like they're running out of ideas. It's like remake all the Disney movies, because there's only like, I think someone told me there's only like 7 genres, and within those there are only like limited stories that the human mind can like think about, like tragic, you know, happiness, romance, and ideas are just recycled. They're just like tweaked a little bit, because if you see like all the Hollywood movies, they're the typical hero battle, gets the girl, you know, it's called the hero's journey, right? And it gets, the 3-act structure. But that template has been used over and over and over again, man. But I believe that's just a reflection of our human minds, how we want to be great, how we want to achieve things, and that's why it sells.
Do you think as an artist or as a writer, you have to go through a certain hardship to get that juice, to get that that idea?
The creativity. To get like inspired? No, it's definitely your personal experience. I only write what you know. Again, it goes back to authenticity. If you write what you don't know, it really shows like you don't know it. You try to write a genre that, or like a story you've never like really felt. Like try writing a poem about something you've never experienced. Like that's really hard. So I always, my poems are all about my life, my life, my life. Even my short films have something related to my life. And they're like very personal to me. And that's how I feel I can put the most colorful and more expressive words, more expressive like feelings into it. So yeah, it's just like writing what you know.
Now that you're studying in the States, right, do you kind of wish that something that Malaysia could improve on?
I think mostly work ethics, man. Like with Malaysians, I realize that whenever you want to achieve something and you face an obstacle, a lot of people just like give up, like, oh, cannot lah bro, you know. But like the US, they're like, this is what I want, this is my vision, Steve Jobs shit. Really focus.
Do you think that that quality trait can be learned?
I think it's culture.
It's culture.
Yeah, I think it's cultural.
How do we break the culture in a way? Like, how do we stop being so weak and lazy?
Stop saying cannot lah.
Right.
Just say can, man.
Yeah.
And thing about Malaysians as well, like, sometimes we like to put each other down. The way we compete is not really healthy. We compete and you're like, oh, like, you should be supportive of your friends' businesses and whatever they're pursuing and like bring each other up. Don't be like, oh, he's like so successful now, sombong, you know. No, like, be happy for them, you know. Yeah, perk each other up. That's how you win together.
But the competitiveness in Asia, I think perhaps Singapore, Malaysia, China, mm-hmm. it's like more of like, I'm just gonna do whatever it takes and everyone is going down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like tearing everyone's just building down and building your own kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess people should really start thinking about collaborating with each other instead of fighting each other.
Yeah.
I think it's, I don't know, because I've never really experienced it in like Japan, wherever, China.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, I live in Malaysia and I see it here. I see like people like, oh, they're like fucking like competing with each other. I'm like, dude, you're in the same industry. If he gets a job, be happy for him. Don't be like dinky, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you have the chance to cross paths with the Malays who are not that open minded. Have you been friends or cross paths?
It's touchy. I mean, yeah, my family's like, I'm quite liberal, urban Malay. I don't know if that's a thing. I always see it like on my Instagram, especially. With religion, I feel like it's a very personal thing and you should not impede on other people's freedom. My mom used to say, like, that's their relationship with God. That's between them and God.
Yeah.
And that's none of your business.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because even if you're a saint here, it's not 100% confirmed that you're gonna go to heaven.
Do you believe in law of attraction? Do you believe in the secret?
I used to believe in it. Even though I don't really believe that it works in that sense of like attracting what you want in life, something like weird did happen. Like when I was 15 years old, when I decided that I wanted to be a filmmaker, I read the book and then they told me to like visualize what I wanted to achieve. And I visualized, so my dream school was USC. And I visualized, like, I closed my eyes. I was like, okay, just think about the time you will receive like an acceptance letter to the school that George Lucas funded. So I remember closing my eyes, like getting a physical mail, a physical letter that said, congratulations, you've just been accepted to USC. And I always kept that visualization in my mind. And a month ago, I got accepted to USC, and it fucking happened, dude. So
I mean, that's
I wrote about this in my blog about the visualization, and I don't know, it's unreal. It's really surreal.
I've experienced it a couple of times as well with visualization. This is not, I would say the secret is pretty vague in a way, but law of attraction and visualization and putting in the work, putting yourself in the right position and envision it before it happens has happened for me a lot of times.
Really?
Yeah. And I feel like we humans, we have a superpower. If you believe in it and then you go through your life like a story, like a writer, you will see the magic happens. Like you write it in your head and then you just go through it. And then it will happen.
And it manifests.
It manifests. Yeah. That's the exact word. I didn't want to sound so like...
spiritual. It's weird. Like when things like that actually happen and you get that achievement, it's like, I don't know, that feeling you get is just like, I'm like connected to the universe and the universe is like speaking out to me. And he's like, hey, we heard what you wanted. Here you go.
Where do you see yourself in like 5 years?
I want to direct like one film in my life. Just like one. And I'll be like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough stress.
I mean, if you get the right AD, if you get the right producers, if you get the right team with you.
Oh, yeah.
And then somehow you will like the right thing. I think you just had like a tough experience.
It was actually pretty tough. My short film, I was like basically a one-man show. I wrote it. I did a lot of pre-production. Even though I like had people who were supposed to be producers, they didn't do shit.
Yeah.
They didn't do shit. I was like kind of pissed about that.
I think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess your journey is still, you're still on the right path.
I tend to see like a lot of people who want to be like filmmakers, but they don't want to do like the hard labor.
Mm.
Because their film production is labor. You have to like move around a lot. You're on set. And people are just like, oh, so hard, so lazy.
Mm.
Like, yo, that's like the job. I enjoy doing that. Like running around, fucking doing, pulling the boom pole, whatever.
Yeah. Do you think like you and your personality and your creative soul, do they intertwine? Or is it a separate?
My
separate being
creative personality and my
your personality and your creative side of things. Your writing persona sort of. Do they intertwine?
Yeah, but I don't show, like, with my writing and my films, like, it's more, like, deeper stuff that I don't really show. I mean, I do post, like, deep poetry, like, dark poetry, but it's different from how I am, like, with my friends.
Mm.
Like, I always try to be, like, cheerful with them, you know. But that shit is, like, inside.
Yeah, I think... Every one of us, we have that deep stuff in it. In us, if we dig deep enough.
To be honest, even though like I've been through like some pretty tough stuff in college, like when I was 18, even 16 actually, but I think that gives me like gold for my films and my writing. Mm. If I didn't have that, it's like a silver lining, man. Honestly, if I didn't have that, I'd be like so boring. My writing would be so boring, and I used to write a lot of like sad stuff, and my friends always tell me like, why are you so depressing, Rose? And
I guess you gotta purge it out.
Yeah, you gotta purge it out. It really, every time something bad happens to me, that's where all the poems go, where all my scripts come from.
Mm.
And my friend actually said like, why do you keep writing about sad stuff? Why don't you write about happy stuff? And I actually thought about that last year actually.
Wow.
And I also wrote a poem about that.
Not everyone can feel sadness or able to express sadness. You have the choice. You have the liberty of deciding whatever you want to decide on and still be able to make it.
I actually was thinking about that visualization that I was talking about. Like, that used to be my goal for so long. Like, I want to work hard. I want to get into USC. But then now that I've achieved it, I'm like, wait... did I plan any other goals? Honestly.
Yeah.
And now I have to like rethink what's the next step.
Mm.
What else do I want to achieve, you know? And I don't know. I think I need to like start visualizing myself like walking on the Academy Awards stage.
What other things excites you?
Being around people who are happy. That excites me. Like I used to not be this extroverted. But I really, like, now I feed off people's, like, happiness.
Have you ever been in a situation where you are in a rut? Like, you don't really feel like going through whatever life has to offer.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you overcame that as well?
Yes, definitely. It was really hard. I was in a deep, dark hole before when I was like 18.
You consider that as a phase of depression?
So there's a difference between like medical depression,
okay,
and like reactive depression.
Wow.
So I had reactive depression. Something bad happened to me. Mm. And I was sad for like a good year.
Medical is a lot of like internal.
Your brain chemicals and your genetics as well.
So that
that's a condition.
Right.
But reactive depression is when
something happens to
your reaction towards an event that happened. Yeah. Yeah. So, because people always throw around like the word depression.
Okay.
Like, I'm depressed. No, you're not. You have reactive depression. That's normal. That's life.
That's and life.
Yeah, exactly.
How does one get through reactive depression then? Apart from exercising, which is the
Do
cliche.
People say that?
Yeah.
Exercising?
Exercise.
Exercising did not help me. When you're in that phase, all you want to do is sleep.
Mm.
For me, I slept like a lot. Lost a lot of weight. That part of my life, even though some people are like, oh, just forget about the past. I'm like, no, that's part of you. That is your life story.
Mm.
You should like hold it close to your heart and make something good out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do, honestly.
Yeah.
And I don't lie about it. Like, I used to not tell people about what happened because it's kind of like embarrassing as well. Like, you know, oh, sad girl. Sad girl hours.
Mm.
But I think it gives people strength when I like share my stories. And like, yeah.
For others who are going through the same reactive depression, you'd say is do the same thing?
Yeah. Tell your story.
Write your stories.
Or write your story.
Mm.
Don't hide away from it. Don't be scared of it. Just be strong. The more you tell people about what happened, the more strong, the stronger you will be. Because as you keep saying it, it gets easier to tell people.
Mm.
Like, oh, I went through this. You know, this happened to me. And sooner or later, you're going to be like, yeah, dude, that happened. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You get over it.
How's your creative process like?
I actually just get ideas from like everyday conversations or like meeting people. Mm. I'll get ideas like in the weirdest place, like in the bathroom or like at a mama. I'll be like, oh, that's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just like write notes on my phone. And like when I get home, open my laptop and like write that idea down.
Mm.
Either like a script or a poem or a story. I just wait for it to come to me. When I'm like trying to write a script on purpose, where if I haven't written for like 6 months and I feel like I should write something, that's when the writer block comes.
Mm.
Like I said, if you open the laptop, sit down, you're staring at like the most uninspiring piece of machine. I actually really want to produce something like psychological thrillers. Maybe along the lines of Shutter Island. I'm like a big fan of open-ended questions, open-ended endings.
Mm.
And Shutter Island is like one of my favorite movies.
Mm.
Enter the Void as well. Christopher Nolan is like really brilliant. I know it's like really cliche to say Christopher Nolan is my favorite director.
Yeah.
I don't know how common it is. Is it common?
It depends on how you look at it though.
Okay.
Depends on like from 1 to 10, I guess it's two people would say that.
Two people would say
yeah.
That. Yeah, people would say Wes Anderson.
Yeah, that would be like, yeah, another two people would say that. So and then there would be Quentin Tarantino. Yeah, I mean, but I guess to each their own, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has their own taste.
Mm-hmm. But my first feature film definitely it has to be like a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
I love that. Man.
Talk a little bit more about the pressure that you mentioned earlier when you see everyone else writing their scripts in every corner of the cafe.
Yeah, in LA, you throw a stone, you'll hit a filmmaker. It's not like here. You know, film is not. You get a lot of videographers and like people who are in production.
Yeah,
but
not
as
writer.
Common as LA. LA is like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I work at this production company. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a sound operator. What do you do? Oh, I'm a script supervisor. A lot of people, dude.
Damn.
Just random people I've met, they're all like, oh, I'm doing cinematic arts. I'm like, okay, yeah, me too. It's not that special there.
Yeah.
So I go into Starbucks or like some coffee shop and you see people like editing their commercials at the coffee shop. I'm like, this is really hard. Yeah. How am I going to compete with all these people, man? Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you stay inspired on top of that? On top of that?
I think just knowing that I have something that other people there don't have, which is my individuality. I'm a Malaysian, and there's not a lot of Malaysians there. Mm. There's a lot of Indonesians, there's a lot of Chinese, Vietnamese, but Malaysians, like, there's like a few people.
Wow.
So I like try to use that as my ammo. Like, I have stories that you've never heard of, like about Malay, Chinese, Indians in Malaysia, and this culture that I bring with me. That is what I want to portray, like, as a filmmaker as well. Like, where I'm from, my origins, because that's really important. That's who I am.
Yeah.
I'm Malaysian, man.
Yeah.
And proud of it.
Have you ever thought of, like, being in the same coffee shop with Christopher Nolan? And could it be possible? I think
I would just pass out.
Yeah.
I'd just be like.
I think you always have to have your script ready in California.
Oh, but what do you mean? Like,
put your script in your bag every single day. And
People hate that though.
Oh, yeah?
People hate it when if you're a big time producer and people keep wanting to show you their scripts. How many people are showing scripts, man?
True.
Like, please, I'm on my break. Don't disturb me.
Yeah.
No, they hate that shit.
Yeah.
Even my professors, my screenwriting professor, in the syllabus itself, he put in like big blocks, do not show me your script.
Damn.
I will not analyze it.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people will just try like, hey, read my stuff, man. Just like try to like.
I don't think we have any other way other than doing it ourselves these days, right? Because people will notice your work. It's easier to watch a film rather than reading a script, in a way, right?
Yeah.
So just keep on creating.
Just keep creating, yeah.
What would be the best piece of advice you've ever received so far?
My dad, man. He always has his like little like philosophies in life. And he's, like I told you just now, he told me that whatever you do, I don't care. Just be the best at it. And I've always like kept that at the back of my head. And try to like embody that quote and put it in my life. Oh, he always says, I'm a maverick. I don't follow people. Try to be yourself, you know. That's what it means, being a maverick. Don't try to follow people because they are not you and you have your own life to live. Don't try to, like, emulate other people's lives because they're on their own journey. What you have to do is live your own journey, basically.
Yeah. There's that.
There's that.
If you could have a cup of coffee with any dead celebrity from the past, who would it be? I usually say musician because it's a cliche that musicians dies young, in a way. But so I pick celebrity. So that it's like a well-known people.
Well-known people.
Yeah, well-known people that you would have a cup of coffee and have a conversation with.
If I could speak French, I would have coffee with Jean-Paul Sartre.
Who is it?
He's a philosopher.
He's a philosopher.
He's an existentialist philosopher.
Existentialist. Yeah.
Or Michel Foucault, because I bet he has a lot of like interesting stories to tell.
Wow.
He's a philosopher as well. He died of AIDS in a bathhouse or something like that.
Shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
So he's a rock star. I'd be like, what is in your mind? Like, how do you see the world? Because why do you think the world works this way? You know, another person that I want to meet is like Tupac. I want to know what happened.
Okay.
If he could like come back to life, I'd be like, who shot you, man? Who shot you? Who did you wrong?
Have you heard that rumor saying that he's about to kill you?
I know. I was like in LA when that happened, and people were showing me pictures like, oh, he's in Malaysia. And okay, at least that puts Malaysia on the map now.
For Tupac.
Yeah, you know when I tell like people in the US about Malaysia, sometimes they don't know where it is, but they're like, oh, that's the place where like two planes went missing.
Or maybe, oh, isn't that in Singapore?
Oh yeah.
That's the worst, right?
Yeah. So now they're like also, oh, Malaysia, that's the place where Tupac lives.
Yeah, this is where I flip the script and let you ask me any question that you have on top of your mind.
Where do you see yourself in like 5 years?
I don't know, I have this side of me that I need to travel the world. I mean, you have to read The Alchemist first. Okay, once you read it, I would have to go through that boy's journey. Probably this year, next year. I need to get lost in the unknown.
In the unknown.
Yeah.
Oh, this book is really interesting.
Yeah.
I need to read.
And then yeah, and then after that, I have to see what happens, where life takes me. Everyone has a goal, right? Everyone has a dream. Like, where do you want to work towards? I mean, creatively or with life, whatsoever. But I realize that is not up to earth. That you can just go for it. Follow your intuition. That is, I really believe that intuition and gut feeling. If you were to talk about it day to day basis, people might get like bored. You know, when are you gonna have fun if you're gonna always follow your intuition, right? Yeah. But it goes a long way. It's like a life compass. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things that you can't seek advice from people, but you can seek advice from you within yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, deep inside me, I just need to get lost in the unknown. By what I meant by that is probably travel, just backpack again in probably this time around Europe. And just meet people and just, I don't know, just get...
experience.
Yeah, just experience.
Just, like, feel alive.
Feel, yeah.
No, I feel you. That's how I feel. That's why I want to, like... I love socializing with people because of that. Mm. That they make me feel.
Yeah. You get addicted to it as well. Mm-hmm. And with what I mentioned also earlier with Malaysia is that not many people are awake, woke, so to speak.
Woke.
Yeah. Everyone is just asleep. Everyone is just like, go to work. I don't know, because you've not been here a while and you haven't been in the working world per se. Like, mm-hmm. It's tailors. It hasn't, your light hasn't been dimmed yet. Mm-hmm. And I have been surrounded by people who have been dimmed and so boring and demotivated, robotic. And I don't want to be part of that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I need to get out as soon as possible. Because as we can control who we are surrounded by, but we can't control what they are as a person in a way, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people. I mean, if whether you want to admit it or not, they are amongst our friends, you know?
Yes, you know? Definitely. They're like autonomous, just like, I think it's just upbringing, man.
Yeah.
Like, you and me, I can feel it. Mm. I can feel the vibe. We're different.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say like we're better. We're or woke. Mm. It's just the way that we were brought up to like express and feel. Yeah. And some people are just like brought up to, you know, study, get a degree, get a job, get married. That's my goal.
And they're okay with it.
And they're okay.
Yeah, that's the scary part.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine myself being there, and I'm afraid that if I get there, if I were to be part of the system, and I might just end up killing myself, literally, because it's just so hard to swallow. You know, it's like prison.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like I think people like us, we just need to be free and just do what we're doing now, only more, mm-hmm. and just go with it. And hopefully life agrees, you know, because I don't know, there's whether or not you believe in God, there's another higher spiritual power that is in charge of writing the scripts for us. Yeah. You know, so you can just, but still I believe in the law of attraction, I believe in all those magic of manifestation. In 5 years, I would say if all goes well, then I see myself having kids. Mm. So that's I'm still sane. I still feel the wholeness of having a family and
yeah, that still never goes away.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
That's not your only goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the only thing you live for. Some people just go day to day, 9 to 5,
yeah,
without even thinking about.
Some people just go for that because it's time.
Because
I'm almost 30. Like, I have to get married now.
I have to get married now.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
It's happening. It's happening.
No, it's upbringing again, man. Yeah. Every time I go back to my hometown, hey, bila nak kahwin?
Yeah.
How about you ask me, like, what my projects are? Like, what I'm doing right now? Like, what I'm working on?
Sadly, right? And they are the majority, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, playing... It's like playing the board game Life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that when they ask me, like, oh, you need to do this. I'm like, who said so?
Yeah.
Who freaking said so? I don't have to do anything the way people do things. You can literally just In fact, you don't even need money. You can just go off the grid, just run away into the forest,
yeah.
and just build your own house,
yeah.
you know, and live whatever life you want. Go hiking every day, go like, I don't know. But
I mean, there's a lot of interesting people out there, you know. There's a lot more people to meet. There's a lot more like-minded also, the people who are exactly the opposite, who you can learn from and be exposed to, rather than just limiting yourself, you know.
You learn a lot from people.
Yeah. Have you seen Into the Wild? Of course you have. Come on.
I've always wanted to watch it, but...
Oh, you've known its existence,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think also, like, from what I see with Westerners versus, like, Malaysian or Asian people. Asian people are very, like, job-focused.
Mm.
Like, yeah, they have the drive. But a lot of Westerners do think like they want to travel. That's why you get a lot of white backpackers.
Mm.
They just like drop everything. Like I have friends who just literally quit their jobs, sell their furniture, and just like go travel. Like you don't see that a lot in Malaysia. There are some who like travel around like Vietnam, Laos, but you don't. That's not like a common thing.
Yeah.
With like Westerners, like it's very common for them to just drop everything and like YOLO.
Yeah. yeah. And also they have the upper hand with their currency.
With their currency. Okay, yeah, we can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, we can. You just have to save a lot more and plan a lot better. But if you were given $50,000 right now.
$50,000.
Just to spend it.
I give my parents money.
Wow.
Definitely. I mean, like, they've been there since day one. Literally.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, you know.
Yeah.
Gave birth to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Buy a drone. I want to get a Breville espresso machine. I used to work at Thursdays. Shout out to Thursdays. Really technical.
Yeah.
It's really technical. Like like how you have to like pour over coffee like slowly, then count like the seconds and see it drip, and you have to count like how many seconds the espresso like brews, and if it's like you got to taste it like really minute difference of like it being too sour or like too bitter. That was really hard for me. I can't, my taste buds are like, I just taste coffee. And my mentor at that time, he was like, no, it's sour, you can taste it, you can taste it. I'm like,
no, you can't.
Where?
Yeah.
Where? Yeah, I had a really hard time like tasting the difference, but that was interesting, that I didn't know coffee was like so technical like that. It's I want to get into it as a hobby. Humans always like we created time. Not like time as in existence, but time as in like days, years, calendar.
Mm.
And we always try to like fit people into this time box. Just the same with the, you know, go to college, degree, get a job, get married. Same thing, man. We always try to fit people into this like little boxes, like of compartmentalizing their lives. When we should just let people live, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, even when you die, you're still in a coffin, you're still a box.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We're always trapped.
Yeah.
Trapped in this body, trapped in this mind, trapped in this, like, existence. That's why they call, like, existentialists will call it, like, angst.
Mm.
You're like, existentialist angst is, like, how you cannot escape being a human, being alive. And that's what you have to face through every day.
Mm.
And existentialists would say, like, just fuck it. You know, do whatever you want. That's why I love existentialism. It's kind of poetic. But we're, like, so boxed up. But if you have the state of mind, you can be free to, like, determine what you want to be, who you want to be, what you want to do. And just, like, try to escape that prison of existence and make the best of out of it.
Damn.
Don't give an F about what people think, honestly. Even if they criticize you or they point out your faults, don't get demotivated because they don't know what you're actually working towards. So they don't have, not the right, but you should tune out like the criticisms, because especially if it's like really negative. Because you know what you want, you just like focus on that. I would tell her that. Because I've been at that point where I feel like a failure if people like criticize me. I'm just like, oh, my stuff is not good enough, you know. and it really, really demotivates me. So I just need to like tune all the noise out and like do what I love and just like focus on that love. Like you think they have your best interests in mind, but usually people have other agendas.
Okay, when it's all said and done and everything is just out there and you're taking your last breath and then it's over, how do you want the world to remember Rose Maizura as?
No, you always plan to have like to leave this legacy. I just think about that, like I want to leave something great, I want to be something great. But honestly, I'll just be happy living life, enjoying my experiences that I have had. You don't have to be special, you don't have to be Steve Jobs to know that you lived a good life. So I would just want people to remember me as a happy girl. Honestly, simple. Like, she was happy, she enjoyed life, and it's time for her to go. Yeah.
Hope the world would benefit from your existence.
Oh, I hope so too.
You would, they would.
Just, even just a little
Keep on creating and don't discount yourself on the filmmaker or the director that you are. I think you can achieve a lot.
Thank you.
If you believe in yourself.
Thank you.
All right. That's that.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Hello, Kopi Kamilo podcast. Milo Fico, signing out.